All right, well, we'll go ahead and item number five on the agenda is just discuss current sharing, so I guess we're gonna kind of defer for superintendent's.
Kurt, you wanna walk through that now, what's being?
Currently, this year, our seniors come over for our concurrent enrollment classes. First semester, they took English 117 or English Comp 1, might be a more common name for you. They also took speech and National American Government. It's been pretty much the standard since we started this sharing, how many years ago, Rob? Six, seven, eight, somewhere, I mean, it's been quite a few years. And then second semester, goes to English 118 or English Comp 2, Western Civilization, and speech. We do have one other student that comes over for an extra period, and this year's taking physics over here. Every once in a while, we do have a student that will stay for physics. Past years, we've had students take buildings and trade, auto, electrical, mechanical tech. It just happens to be that this year, the interest level in them up to the classes, you know, just was not there, so, but. Did I miss any classes, Dennis? I think.
Psych, you said.
Psychology, okay. But that's pretty much what we do this year for the sharing aspect of our seniors, it's usually the first three periods of the day.
Board, any questions on that?
Well, let's go ahead and just go through the outline here, there's a current enrollment course offered.
Kurt asked me to have a list of the offerings or the classes that are offered through DMAC, some of which are offered on this campus, some are which are offered on DMAC's campus. Some are taught by staff here at Carroll High School, and others are taught by staff at DMAC. Dennis, is there anything you need to go over on those or anything like that? Or?
No, if they just have questions, they're ready without that.
You can see that's quite an extensive list. I passed the list out to everybody before the meeting, and so
those that might not understand that right hand column, that's the college number these classes would be equivalent to that DMAX numbering system grading for the registered office.
Going along with that, I guess six and seven just kind of run together there. The cost for classes, a course that is taught by a instructor at Carroll High School costs $110 a class. Classes that are taught by a DMAC instructor, either in this building or on DMAC's campus, are $450 a class because you're also paying the $110, but you're also paying the cost of the instructor. And then career and tech classes like the auto, building and trades, some of those are $950 simply because the weighting that comes along with those students is higher from the state than it is for other ones. And so, and there are multiple period classes typically, I think, both of those.
So therefore, worth more credits.
Right. Both Tammy McKenzie is a high school principal here. Dennis McCartney is one of the counselors here. They can certainly answer any questions that you may have regarding any of, not only the DMAC classes, but other courses that are offered here as well.
Any
mean in a college, like a college class?
Yeah.
If it's one of the concurrent enrollment classes, like the ones that the students where we are currently taking, it usually runs between, let's say, 18 and 25 students.
What about the other elective classes? Because if we would have, you know, we're looking obviously at other partial day sharing, what would those be?
Like if you're talking like maybe the physics class that kids have taken in the past.
Yeah, and or, you know, like we're looking more at like electives like foods class, art class, or business classes, some of those.
Could range anywhere from 15 to 25, just depending.
Concurrent enrollment classes are really, in my opinion, a double-edged sword, because it's great to be able to offer those, and it certainly is great for students to be able to take advantage of those. But that also comes with a price, and I'm not talking the price of the class. It comes with the price because it certainly does affect your other elective classes that you offer, and you know, it has an impact on family and consumer science classes, has an impact on band, has an impact on vocal, has an impact on all those other electives, because there's, you know, there's only so many slots in the student schedule. And so, and a lot of students want to take as many of those as they can. I mean, we have kids graduating with 20, 25 credits.
If a kid's just, like the students from our WEVA that are taking the Comp 1, Comp 2, College Speech, Western Civ, National American Government, it's like they're graduating with 19 college credits. So they're
Say 19
college credits just there. And then we have a lot of the students now that last year was the first year we offered general chemistry, 165, 175. Those are both 4 hour classes. So, you know, you bump that up, that's 8 more credits. I was just looking at a couple of students. We have you know, a number of students graduate with over 30 college credits that are going to transfer out to a 4-year college, which means their freshman year is done and paid for.
I assume some of those are taking them as fresh, or juniors, excuse me.
Yeah, and if they're gifted and talented, they maybe will take class as a sophomore.
Otherwise, they're seniors, just most
of those. Not, no, that's usually half of that.
Yeah.
At what grade level would you say most kids start taking college level classes? You said it's not just seniors.
Junior level.
If we would do more partial, look at more partial day sharing, and I'm sure, Denny, this is more of a question for you. You know, we're looking at, you know, obviously we haven't really discussed what it would look like, but how difficult would it be for to do more sharing? And, you know, we're talking either juniors coming over for more classes or sophomores or whatever it is. Is that going to be an issue scheduling-wise? Is there sections that, you know, that students would be able to fill? Or are we going to look at where the staffing, you don't have the staffing needs to meet our student needs? I mean, right, Kurt, I'm asking the right question there, right? I mean, that's something we need to know.
How many students do you
that's
currently, how many students are you sending over?
Our senior class
many?
Is barely is.
We have 9 students coming over right now, the seniors. But we only have 12 seniors this year, period. Next year we'll have 20 juniors. Everything will be just, you know, consistent and the same. 17 sophomores and freshmen, and I think
that's
16.
So that's next year's numbers?
No, that's this year's
numbers.
In the past years when we've had higher numbers of our waiting students coming over, I remember there was times when there would be over 20 seniors coming over. They were difficult, and then we'd have that many maybe taking chemistry as juniors. And so, you know, it's just one of those things, as long as you know in advance, you can pretty much tweak the schedule, make it work the way you want it to work.
I know partial day sharing puts a lot more parameters on your schedule making and so forth compared to whole day sharing. And right now, the board's interested in more partial day sharing than whole grade, but just don't know how many periods for each grade level. Is that what classes necessarily get?
Well, obviously our schedules are fairly close. We already tried to keep our calendars very similar, start of the day, those kinds of things. I know with the districts that we are talking with, we really, we're kind of looking at kids being at whichever district in the morning time, and then being at our home base basically in the afternoon to help with activities and games and kids getting everywhere else. Is that what your board is thinking? Would mornings be preferable? Afternoon, have you given any of that any thought or have a preference or?
No, we have not discussed in detail as far as it really matter what your needs are, what you're looking at. If you're into a partial day, I can see where, yes, the afternoons, you're going to want that more free for activities. You're there and you have the transportation time. And with some of the classes that start early, particularly some of them at DMAC, earlier start. I guess you can help us out on the classes.
There's no one who start early, you know, or like right now, medical terminology, nurse's aid, auto, building trades. So, statistics, yes, nurse aid.
And if we've had kids take that before, they usually mm-hmm. try it separately then instead of, you know, like a transportation.
The big question from a scheduling standpoint would be, like, if the juniors are planning on taking, well, if they're coming over as juniors, do they want to take psychology? Do they want to take National American Government or whatever? And then we would have to start, you know, looking at how we're going to do that, because our kids try to fill those seats too, and it just kind of becomes one of those things where we don't like to have our college classes eighth period either, because we kind of set that aside as we're not having kids in this college classes, so.
And predominantly, Dennis, when do you start your registration process for next year?
Yeah, February. It's starting now, actually. So.
It's usually not finalized till May.
Rob, maybe this question to you. If the number of kids that we would send over, would our staff, if needed, be able to be utilized here in some of the classes?
Possibly. If more FTE were needed, that's certainly a possibility. You know, some would depend on you know, what areas that there are, that the need is there, and whether or not we have any folks that would need additional assignments, things like that. Generates additional sharing dollars. Share staff.
What do you think the next step would be in this process to determine if this is going to be a fit or not? Like, what would we, as separate districts, as joint boards, have to do to see if it's going to be a match or if we can make it work either educationally and financially to make it beneficial to both districts and the students?
Are you asking me or the board?
Somebody. You know, I mean, cause well, and this is, I think, unique for all of us that, and, you know, we haven't had great conversations as far as details as what we need to do or what we should do. We're just kind of exploring options. And I guess, you know, figure out what is the next step. What do we have to be looking to compare, you know, if this is going to work or not? Or what would we have to outline, draw up, or what kinds of decisions would need to be considered?
Well, if it was me, I guess the first step I would do is talk to students that are currently going here for classes. And talk to students that have taken classes here in the past to get that perspective. The next
step for me would be is to determine then how many periods that's going to be and how many grades is that going to be and what's that going to look like. And then from there, you know, I would probably, you know, get to a point where, you know, the decision is made, and then do, if it's possible, to do some type of pre-registration of seeing if you know, the classes are there such that they can get into them and things like that. So,
are they currently limited with the amount of classes that they can take here? You know what I mean? If they're...
We give them three periods to take them concurrent enrollment classes. So we do have one that stays and takes physics. We've had some before, pretty much here all day. But for the most part, they come back for their couple cores and some electives and for the activities. Predominantly, it's the three concurrent enrollment classes, first three periods of the class.
And you've got 8 out of your 12 seniors right
now?
9.
Of the state aid per student per class period.
And we pay that to Carroll High.
Yeah. If it's a Carroll instructor.
Yep. Or to DMAC.
Well, DMAC just charges us.
And Rob, I think you said when we talked before, about cost-wise, that besides the sharing costs and stuff like that, there'd be like additional costs for students. Like you said, there'd be no technology fee, right?
No.
Right, and no technology fee here. And so but it would probably be, there would be other some additional costs for students that, maybe not? No?
No.
Okay.
There's all, you heard you're very limited. Schools are very limited for what they can charge. I know there are districts that are charging a, you know, insurance fee for laptops, or I'm not sure how they're, what they call it. We do not do that. Don't plan to do that. I question whether you can do that if you're challenged on it. We buy books for the classes, the DMAT classes, the concurrent enrollment classes. So the district purchases those. So, yeah, there's just, I mean, very, excuse me, very very few other fees that are charged.
Have we gotten into an instance that we've had to turn down the Carroll students for a class because of space?
No.
Rob, there's no additional fees for anything like welding, bringing tools in. Are all those things provided?
The only place that there would be a possible fee for an individual would be is if, for example, in a industrial technology class, you know, building a project, if they wanted to go above and beyond what's expected, then they could do that, but at their cost and not to this.
obviously the Weaver Board, we're very interested in moving forward. And but I want to know, like, from the board members, from Carol, how interested are you guys in what we're looking to do and be able to share with you, with Carol? Carol, you know, I just want to hear some of your guys' viewpoints. Maybe if you can let us know how you guys feel about this.
From my understanding, it's worked pretty well in the past, you know, from talking to people. Probably my biggest questions are kind of the questions you've left open are what grade levels, how many students, what that schedule would look like, you know, if we're bringing over multiple grade levels and multiple students at that grade level, if it's feasible from the guidance standpoint, you know, to set that schedule up to accommodate everybody, you know, and how easy or how difficult that is. You know, so I, from my standpoint, I can't necessarily answer that question until you kind of, here's what we'd like to do. You know, the number of students, the number of these grade levels we'd like to bring over. And understanding, you know, those numbers are going to change from year to year. But basically, kind of like you said, you know, we bring over our seniors typically for three periods. And, you know, sometimes, you know, a senior or two may stay longer or shorter depending upon on that senior's needs. But here's what we typically foresee is would be my biggest question. And then, you know, my other question is that 80-20, is that that's what it has been. Is that always going to be that way as costs go up? You know, I don't know. I can't answer that.
Being that Tammy's the one that's here and knows all the how things are running and the ins and outs, do you have any concerns or questions or things that you think that we need to address moving forward?
Well, one thing, Kurt and I have worked very well together. He's been very supportive of any concerns we might have on this end, and he as well the other way. And so, in that regard, of course, to me, we're talking about two different things right now. We're talking about 9 students as opposed to possibly 40, 50, 60. So I think that to partner along with what Mr. Jurgensen said, it's kind of hard to speak to the unknown, not knowing exactly what you all are thinking of. I would have to know more about how many credits you require for your graduating students, what kind of courses you would want for them to pick up here, things like that. So it's kind of hard to actually ask any questions without knowing what it is you're really thinking of.
All right. I'm just going to throw this out there. We have not discussed this as a board by any means, so this is nothing concrete. I was just throwing out the idea of our juniors and seniors, possibly like 5 periods of the day, maybe 6, you know. And then our freshmen and sophomores, maybe only 3 or 4 periods of the day over here. Obviously, there's more core classes your freshmen and sophomores have to take. We can do the core classes financially. And as the older they get, less core classes, more they branch out in their electives, that's where the expense comes in at. Now, you're looking at, I visit individually with some board members, some other people. The tough part is government is required class. Okay, but we have 9 out of our 12 students already taking government over here as national government as a concurrent enrollment class. So do we still need to go and offer our own government class, or do they all come over and take government, for example? Your math classes, not a math class is actually required. You just have to have 6 credits of it. Okay. That's what we have not discussed at all yet. Maybe we should just teach freshman and sophomore math at our place and they get the rest of their math credits at the other school we decide. You know, that's the things we don't know. But a lot of your vocational classes that are very expensive to operate, as you know, they would definitely be ones that I think need to be strongly considered being pursued over at another school for our students, but with some academic classes as well.
Well, our schedules, and Dennis can help clarify this if I say it incorrectly, but our freshmen schedule to be locked in with the courses that we require for them to take, which I presume is the same at your building. So how that might, may or may not match up for your students, it would be something we need to look into. Sophomore schedules are pretty tight as well. It's a little bit better.
Yeah, there's quite a bit. Actually, there's quite a bit of freedom for the sophomores.
And so those are, you know, things we'd want to sit down and talk about.
Yeah.
Make sure that it would look good for your kids.
We're at JMC.
So with you looking at offering five, suggesting 5 to 6 courses for juniors and seniors over here, is that just kind of going to start limiting your classes at your own school?
Yeah, we would then, yes. If they can fulfill the rest of their needs, yeah, we would limit. Yep.
I certainly wouldn't speak for the board. I'll speak for myself and say that, you know, I think that we would do be willing, at least willing to look at doing just about anything. You know, I think it just makes sense. And so you just, you asked me that shock, you know, it doesn't. I'm not sure what would anymore, but you know, I think it's doable. That's the view from 30,000 feet. It's not their view. It's certainly my view, and you know, they may certainly feel differently about it. And so that's my take on it. A question I would have is what's the Arweaver Board's long-term vision on regarding sharing and things of that nature?
We basically discussed it kind of last time, and I mean, we're looking short term now, but we are also looking long term. That, I mean, everybody knows the state of education and small schools in general financially. That I think when we look at partial day sharing, again, I'll speak for myself, but I think this is kind of what we discussed in our last one, that you know, we're obviously looking at all the options that we have to be responsible to all the members of our community. And we're in a district where we're right in the center of several school districts. But with that said, we're also looking long-term as far as, you know, partial day now, but we also have to look, this could possibly become more of a whole grade sharing option. You know, as most districts, they want to try to keep their identity as much as you can, and especially with a small town, that's really important. And I would say that's, I think, important to us and the people that we speak for. But with that said, we also have to be financially responsible as well. So I would guess that long term, I don't know if that's 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, you know, that it could be more whole grade sharing, more so in the high school than in the elementary, middle school area, just because that's where you have a little more flexibility with classes. When we have little kids, you're talking about small class sizes anyway, so I would guess that. And I guess as a board, when we start looking at what our options are and what district matches up best with our needs, it will also be looking long term, what would best fit our needs if we have to make another decision 2, 3, 8 years down the road, where would we go from there?
And we've also kind of discussed, as we're looking at the partial day sharing agreement, that, and I know for myself, with some of the sections that I went to at the convention, you know, they really talked about, don't just make this a year-long agreement and have it be a Band-Aid. We're looking at, you know, is it possible to do a multiple-year agreement so that we have some stability for our kids? They know what to expect the next year, what our community can expect, what we as a board can feel, so that, you know, we want to have that stability and have a direction, I guess. And then agreement of some sort, not just a Band-Aid, yes.
To me, that makes a lot of sense, and I'm kind of speaking with Tammy. I can see her nodding her head, too, but I don't think you could enter into an agreement with freshmen, sophomores, seniors on a one-year deal.
Right.
It's got to be a multi-year, you know, here's what our freshmen are going to kind of expect to take, and, you know, the first year, here's probably what they're going to take their sophomore year, knowing there's going to be some adjustments, you know, along the way, but it makes a lot of sense to go into it with the mindset of it's a multi-year.
Well, and even with the scheduling, why reinvent mm-hmm. the wheel every year?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, have a plan.
Knowing what he shared with us, that they're thinking about maybe 5 to 6, depending on periods. Is there any problems or things that you think that we need to look at, Dennis and Tammy, with that?
That makes it, when they said the juniors and seniors may put 5 or 6 periods, that makes it easier. It opens up more avenues for flexibility to, you know, to let the schedule actually create the best schedule for us. You know, the one thing that Tammy and I were mentioning, you know, something that isn't academically related, but then we start thinking about, okay, so now they're going to be eating lunch here, you know, so it's just the, just one of those other things that I just throw into the system, like, okay, it makes everything different. So.
How quick would decisions need to be made with what you're doing as far as scheduling and classes? Yesterday?
No, it's... We can make it work.
We've kind of talked that by February, sometime in February, we want to have a plan.
You know, that's only a couple weeks away.
I know.
Yeah, that's what we're kind of hoping. We've got a February meeting and just come up with a different plan, what we'd like to do.
And just kind of, when looking at your numbers with 20 juniors and 17 sophomores, so for next year, this time we have 37.
No, just be juniors and seniors.
Yes, yeah. Just juniors and seniors. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you look at our class sizes, you spread them out into the various sizes, it does create a lot of grief, and there's, you know, room. The other question I have is thinking, you got 13 freshmen, what you got for 8th graders, thinking what's
and all together, 9 through 12, next year, we're looking at like 64 students, if everything stayed consistent. Okay.
Yeah. As you look down into lower 6-7, those lower grades are the numbers in the low teens,
mid teens.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter's in second, and there's 19 in our class, so it's right in there.
Looks like they found a lot of often for you there.
There's been a couple, two really low grades this year, seniors, and then the incoming freshmen, the current 8th grade class.
Fourth grade.
How many seniors do we have this year? 117. I think we had 111 last year. Yeah. We've had up to 160 about 2-3 years ago, I think. So just to give you an idea, our class sizes are kind of about 120 average that you're graduating.
I'm trying to be semi-careful with what I say because I also teach here at Carroll High. But I know one reason that we kind of, well, obviously the distance, we've also had a sharing agreement for a lot of years, and you know, I think a lot of people are feel that Carroll's a pretty good fit and Sharon has gone well. One concern I would have is, and Rob spoke to this earlier, with the concurrent enrollment, that limits some of your elective courses. You know, family consumer science, we only have a half-time teacher. If we're looking at our students coming over here to take more of the electives and possibly some of the upper math classes and some of those science classes, but a lot of it would be more the elective courses, you know, it partially concerned me that if we, you know, there's not a lot of those offered in certain areas, but again, due to that, so that would be, you know, something to consider as we're doing scheduling and staffing and things like that, that long-term you're also talking about more students and to have more opportunities for those. Not that you're going to add staff just based on our kids coming over here, but that would be the section of the areas that kids would be taking of some of those elective courses. And we don't want to not have Carroll kids get it, but we also don't want our kids to be limited either. We want to make sure that it's a win-win for both students. We don't want to do this just financially. Our kids need to get something out of it educationally as well. Is it going to be better here than what we could offer? And then is it financially? another, I mean, concern, or as we talk about this, that's in the back of, I'm sure, many of our heads as we make these decisions.
One of the things, too, just because DVs would know, like if they were coming over, right now they're coming over 3 periods a day, if they're coming over 5 to 6 periods a day, it does give a lot of flexibility in the schedule. A lot of things students around me would have to get used to, because it's going to make my, it's going to make the world a lot easier. There, you know, if you're, if we got 17 or whatever juniors coming over, they're not all going to be in the same chemistry class. They're going to start getting, it's going to be 3 here, 4 there, 2 there, whatever, just because, you know, right now, you know, I'm teaching psych next semester, I just call every week psych, because, you know, I've got my OE kids in there, so, but it's not going to be like that anymore.
And that's what it was with Kim, but there would be a few Carroll kids who would be in those sections, but they would be in comp, usually is,
sorry,
we the kids, and then a few other ones, they would
be. They're going to be more split out now than they've been before, whatever.
Well, I know back to Rob's suggestion about student feedback, and when we did put out our community survey, we also had sophomore juniors and seniors fill out our survey. And surprisingly, everybody was very receptive to the thought of the sharing. And I would say the student feedback is they were really interested in the new opportunities they would have with additional classes. So I don't think there's any hesitancy that way with our students. They were a little worried about, you know, being little fish in a big sea and kind of getting lost. And so I think them knowing that the class sizes are not, you know, there's not 40 kids in a section and things like that will help. And fortunately, a lot of our kids know each other already. And we've been doing this for several years, so it's not completely new. I think the students are very receptive. It's you know, the adults that are the ones that usually have a little more hesitation. But I think our kids are very willing, and in fact, are pretty excited about the opportunity to have some different classes. So.
But I think they also get feedback from some kids that have taken classes here before, and I mean, Demi can attest this to when we had juniors, I think they've all had good experiences with the classes they've had here and the staff. Mm-hmm. I haven't really heard of any complaints.
I haven't heard anything negative. Everything that I've heard has been positive. So.
My daughter took classes here, and she just had to love it. Like Rob, we talked before, and Rob said that the only difference our kids are going to notice when they come here is probably first thing in the morning when all the kids are out in the common room and everything. Other than that, we're going to go to their classrooms. It's just going to be, you're going to have your normal 18, 20 kids in a classroom. It's going to be no different for the kids. So that's the biggest difference he thought they would see.
Between class periods.
Yeah, between class periods, yeah, basically
right.
Going to.
One of the items during one of the convention sections, they talked about ways to make sharing work well for the students is that once you make that decision on what districts are going to share, who you're going to use, is to try to have activities or do things to pull the student bodies together. Would that be something that your board and school would be willing to do, try to have some functions to integrate them prior to classes starting?
And families.
Yeah.
So that they,
you know, having
like
a
you
tour
said,
night for...
Parents are the ones that have the hardest with the transition.
Yeah, so I think that would be vital.
Especially true for freshmen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have pretty accurate freshman orientation.
Right.
I know that get the students, get the parents, get them in the building.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of my kids was a freshman. I still laughed about the map because they asked Tammy for a map because I know he was scared, didn't know where he was going. And just
make
a laugh when I saw the colors, but
I
did leave a copy of that.
You know, I think too, like with partially sharing is that a lot of people, when people hear sharing, they think, oh, well, my kid graduate from OWEVA. They're still going to be able to graduate. They're still going to be an OWEVA graduate with partial grade sharing. And some people might not understand that. They go to sharing, they think you can graduate from another school district, but you're not. It's only if you go to whole grade sharing. And when you lose your, you know, that part. But I think we need to make sure that that out there that people understand and parents understand that they're still going to graduate from OWEVA with partial grade sharing.
And that's another concern that parents have said, you know, they want to keep our own activities and still have that identity of the Rockets. And that was the other comment the students left on their surveys and their comments was that, I want to be a Rocket for as long as possible. And so we're taking that feedback into thought too when we're really looking at that partial grade sharing idea. And like Denise Jay's already mentioned, keeping your school alive is so vital for our small towns. And so we have all those things on the table and going through our thoughts. So
like I said, with Park and Bay, obviously we want to keep, like I said, keep it going for as long as we can. One of our main goals too is to keep the elementary K-3 alive in the in our communities. Then what they always say, once you lose your schools, where's your small town go? And also that's one of our main goals too. And eventually down the line, yeah, full rich sharing is going to be a possibility. But yeah, for now we want to try and keep that.
We're all hoping the government is going to come through and help us.
Don't hold your breath.
I know.
One of the biggest questions always going to come down to, and we talk about our government, is the amount, cost for the sharing aspect of it. Face it in the back of our heads, that's always going to be there. I probably haven't talked about it as a board. We really have not talked about it as a board either, because we don't know how many periods, how many students, and which periods, and so forth. Mr. Corse and I had both visited a little bit last week, or I think it was. Threw around a lot of different ideas about this meeting and so forth. And I guess, does anybody have any thoughts?
We haven't discussed it at all. I certainly shared some information with the board. Newsletter and things like that, but as far as discussing, I guess I'm one that feels that those things can be worked out and negotiated, so it's a win-win for both schools and move from there. I think you probably have to do a little legwork on seeing what other districts are doing and how that what that looks like in other places. That nature, and so it could be something that we start where we are now and stair step that up over a period of years to get to what I would call whatever the state average is or something like that. And so there's certainly plenty of districts that are doing either partial day or whole day sharing, and so there's a number of them out there to. That's my take on it. That's not the board's take on it. I haven't talked to them.
I think until we got to the point where we knew where we're going to go, what we want to do, what you folks want to do, that obviously we get into that discussion more detail later. Just having that discussion about it, we're not sure what looking partial, whole, or whatever, which classes. What we can do best to help accommodate your situation that's best for your students. I know we have great staff here. And I'm really sure you're here to help me out is the way we can. So.
As we talk with other districts, what is one thing that you guys can think of from your district that would be like your spotlight, your selling point, your something you're really proud of, or
people? I'll take it back. Last one just graduated, but just I'll go back to even just this concurrent enrollment classes. They're very prepared for future academics. We do have, I feel like, just a very, very tremendous, really, really good staff here. The facilities are excellent. We've done a lot of renovations, a lot of additions. I know you didn't get into the wrestle room, but those are sports and like that. It's just, it involves the community. Right now, the process of the stadium renovation and those discussions are starting on there. So, there's plans to do some changes in this room that are kind of in the process. We're constantly looking to improve and how can we be better ourselves. We put Wi-Fi on buses. We're one of the activity buses. We're early, we weren't the first, I think we were the second school district to do that. So we try to be very proactive in getting the best technology needs for our kids. We have a board, as a board, are very willing to invest in those type of education needs for kids. We realize that it's different than when we went to school, very differently. So we want to get these kids prepared, whether it's going into trade schools or going into college or going to just go out and work in the communities, that they're just very, very prepared for life. So I think we do a good job there. Our graduation rates are high, the ACT scores are good. The attendance levels have been very, very high. It's just a great tribute to, I think, the staff here, the entire staff, and the care that they have for students. You'll see the administration, different teachers out in the parking lot when school's getting started, greeting kids, talking to them after school. They're very, very involved. The administration that doesn't sit back in their rooms, they're very out in the classrooms, which is what we want. We don't want them to just be back in their desk, but I'm not with the students, so the students know them. We'll do all we can to welcome the RV of the kids here, and I, you know, your suggestion of an open house or something of that nature, absolutely need to do that, to get as many parents over here and get some of our own students and parents in, and, you know, I can be a win-win for everybody.
I would just add, you know, Carroll High was nominated and won the Blue Ribbon Award, high school award, a couple years back, and Arweva was nominated, has been nominated this year, so, you know, I teach here and I know there's great staff, but I also know my kids go to Arweva and there's great staff and great kids there too. So I know that those kids coming over, if this is, you know, the best fit, that there's good kids that are coming with some good academic backgrounds and good family backgrounds too, that would be an asset to this Carroll district. So I think it's a win-win on both parts.
Speaking about the high school, I have to say I have been really proud the last couple of weeks. We had a school improvement team meeting, and the high school staff had presented new courses. And I'm one of those parents that don't want their kids to grow up. I want to keep them small. But then I get so excited because I see these new courses that I wanted to be in high school so they can go to those new courses. But they're, you know, the high school staff has been, and the administration has been so good about evolving and challenging the kids that that's one of the things that I have to say that I'm very proud of when it comes to Carroll High School.
I'm really excited about the plans for this library and the grant that Tammy and I forget what.
Mr. Meiskens.
Yes, Mr. Meiskens were able to get to just incorporate more technology into this space. And Tammy can talk more about that, but I think it's going to be really great for the students here and for the Arweva students if they come.
I think as we walk through the classrooms, and I told you very few classrooms have desks anymore, the grant that we got is called Redesigning the Learning Environment. And that's the new trend in education. Desks are out and collaborative spaces are in. And so we're starting within our chemistry area with a lot of technology that we just ordered and some new desks and tables. And it's almost interesting for those of you who might be elementary teachers here, I don't know, where the desks that or the tables that fit together and things like that, well, that's now moving up to the secondary level. So we are very excited about what it will do to this room, too. But if we're going in phases, and phase one is our chemistry area. So moving much more toward STEM-related, as most schools are. So engineering and some things like that. I always challenge the teachers, and they seem to keep coming back with other ideas. So try to keep up with them as best we can.
Do you have any idea how your students would feel about our Arweva students coming? Like we've polled ours. And
one of the things I think Dennis would echo this, as would Denise, one of the things I'm most proud of with our students here, our student body, and I can only speak for Carroll High School, is how welcoming they are to new students. And I would, you know, when we talk about freshman orientation, every single student that comes in here is a new student. It doesn't matter where they're from. And we run them through a regular abbreviated school day, so they know where they go for their first period, where they go for their second period. And I, honest to goodness, I think we do a phenomenal job of orientation for new students to our district. The supports we have in place are amazing for kids to be successful. Can we do a better job? I'm sure we can. I'm sure every school can. But we certainly try to continue to help provide any single thing that they would need. I would love to have, I've told Kurt before, the students that come over here, if I weren't standing out in the entryway when they came in the morning, I wouldn't know they were here. I mean, they blend right in, they go to class, they don't cause problems, and they walk away from here having taken advantage of the curricular offerings that we have here, and they do a nice job. So I hope that answers your question. I would welcome, and so would the kids. I don't see a problem with that. Do you know what's going to
happen? Just for gallers.
Mr. McCartney has those students in his class. What would you have to say about how your students accept?
Give me more Adam Rhythm.
They're good
kids. They're all good. Dang, I forgot your turn.
So,
we won't repeat what they say about you.
Probably the same thing we say to me.
Other questions or comments?
We really appreciate you guys taking the time today to meet with us and to consider this and be willing to look at collaboration at a higher level. And we do appreciate everything you've done over the last several years with our kids.
Well, I kind of echo what Mr. Porter said. I don't see any reason why there can't be something worked out if that's what you decide to move forward with. I think it's worked in the past, and they've kind of nodded their head like, yeah, we can make it work. So, I think that would be a definite possibility if that's what you decide to move forward with.
We do put, number 9 on the back sheet of that agenda as far as the timeline. Is there a timeline out here, or do you want to just be in touch with Portis? What's your folks' thoughts are on that?
Well, we're sitting with another district tomorrow night. We have a regular board meeting next week, correct?
Yeah, the 20th.
So we can have some discussion next week amongst ourselves. Do you guys feel it would be reasonable to? Do we want to have a community meeting prior to making a decision as a board?
I think we need to with our community,
right?
And just let them know where we're at with everything mm-hmm. and get input based on the information we get. Mm-hmm. And then I would guess we would either be rescheduling another meeting to decide on what that should look like. But I'm guessing that'll be Rob and Kurt having some discussions as well.
February 10th would be our meeting in February. Do we feel it's realistic to have a decision made at that time, or do you think not? Kurt, do you think it's feasible to have a community meeting? It's about 4 weeks away.
If you're going to have a community meeting before February 10th, you said we're going to make a decision in February.
So, that first week of February, have a
community meeting there last week in January. I haven't come to the board meeting.
We're almost going to have to get a proposal on what you guys are going to think.
Right. Do you need an offer from us first?
Maybe if we kind of look at, Kurt gave us some ideas, a number of classes, But we also, you know, have to look at how that financially helps our district by what that will look like for our staff stay and where there would or would not be cuts. So I think if we do that and you guys look at what what the cost would be, you know, based on whatever.
I guess
then we'd be able to pull those together and decide what's going to be best, or maybe that vote between her and Rob having some discussion and then board making decisions.
If we were to choose your district, what timeline do you guys want? When do you want a proposal?
That's, yeah. I think as soon as possible.
I think it gets back to that, kids enroll, it's, you know, probably more critical on your end because the students, regardless of what district into, are going to need to do the class scheduling, so yeah, definitely probably not here in the end of February. And we can talk about some of the cost stuff, but, you know, in the meantime, while you guys have yours, we did some discussions ourselves, like what we want pepper that to look like, and some of them, you know, kind of what you want to propose as far as number of grades, number of periods, and things like that.
Freshmen, sophomores, say at the most 4 periods a day, and junior, senior, 6 periods a day, work off of that model? Possibly? I mean,
can you pull some stuff for us, Rob, on that?
I think we'd be able to.
Are you going to be able to have a community meeting and have a proposed number of classes and what that would look like? I think that would be pushing it by the 10th. I'd say by the end of February for sure, but, you know, the 10th is quicker.
It's pretty fast.
Huh? I mean, especially I'm guessing there'd be a work session in there or something for us to present to the community prior to that. I'm not saying it's not doable. It'd just be a lot of decisions we made in a short amount of time.
So we'll... I think we just need to make it happen. So next week's the 20th, then the 27th, and then the 3rd. And there's 3 more Wednesdays before we just set up a community meeting in between those times.
So
ideally, when would you like to?
Comments, regards, anything else here? Kind of got
We provide transportation for students that are going to take the first three periods of the day. If there's an alternative to only two periods, one period, or four periods, then they're going to be responsible for that.
And just so I'm clear, the students per hour they're here, Carroll receives 80%, or you guys still receive 80%?
We pay Carroll
80%. 80%, that's Carroll. Well, I guess that's the right way around. And where are you guys meeting tomorrow?
We're going to go and meet with Dennis.
All right, I think the other stuff is all speculative, so I'll wait until we have some more solid.
And I would just say to your board, you know, any questions you think of before now and then, please, you know, send them to Kurt or one of us, and let's keep the communication going.
Likewise.
Bye.
Yeah.